pa tam dol zagledaj. Zagledam Madonna in ošla.
Res.
Je bil pa lep, mlad, mlad in tudi siv. Siv, ne ta nemški očaj, črn pa to ne. Prav tista prava volk. Krasen.
Radijske zgodbe o ljudeh, ki ustvarjajo duh časa. Na Radiu Študent.
Blokada Gaze ali očitnost ni dovolj? Napad izraelske vojske na humanitarni konvoj ladi namenjen v Gazo v mednarodnih vodah prejšnji teden, v katerem je umrlo 9 aktivistov, je območje Gaze zopet postavilo v središče medijske pozornosti. Za kratek čas, seveda. Nazadnje je bila Gaza ta ozek pas ob Sredozemskem morju med Izraelom in Egiptom, v katerem se gnete 1,5 milijona ljudi, predmet tako obsežnega poročanja ob izraelski vojaški agresiji konec leta 2008 in v začetku leta 2009, v kateri je umrlo okoli 1400 palestincev in 100-krat manj Izraelcev. Takrat se je torej govorilo o ofenzivi, bombardiranju, uničevanju, rušenju in pobijanju, tokrat pa o napadu izraelskih enot na ladijski konvoj z raznovrstno humanitarno pomočjo za prebivalce Gaze, kar je v ospredje postavilo izraelsko blokado Gaze. Ta traja od junija 2007, Izrael pa kot razlog za njo navaja zmago palestinskega gibanja Hamas na volitvah leta 2006. Izrael ima Hamas za teroristično organizacijo, kar mu omogoča zavračanje kakršnih koli pogajanj s tem gibanjem. Pri blokadi se Izraelu pridružuje tudi Egipt, ki navaja, da Hamas nima legitimnosti pri vodenju palestincev in da so edine legitimne palestinske oblasti tiste pod vodstvom Mahmuda Abasa, ki vodi gibanje Fatah. Tako bi po razlagi Egipta dvig blokade Gaze legitimiziral Hamas in pomenil egipčanski blagoslov razdelitve palestincev. Ta razlog, če je sploh relevanten, seveda ni edini. Egipt ima namreč čisto konkretne koristi od sodelovanja z Izraelom in Združenimi državami Amerike pri onemogočanju normalnega življenja prebivalcem Gaze. Kaj sploh pomeni blokada Gaze? Izrael, ki je svoje enote enostransko povlekel iz Gaze leta 2005, tudi po mnenju Združenih narodov ostaja okupacijska sila na tem območju, saj izvaja nadzor gazinega zračnega prostora in obale ter strogo nadzira, kaj lahko pride v in iz Gaze. Tako Izrael ne dopušča vnos pločevink, gradbenega materiala, papirja, žarnic, igrač za otroke, špagetov in še na tisoče drugih dobrin, ki so na črni listi. Vse to namreč bojda predstavlja nevarnost za Izrael, ki ima sicer eno močnejših oboroženih sil na svetu, vključno z atomskim orožjem. Za oddajo smo opravili pogovore z Urijem Avnerijem, nekdanjim poslancem Kneseta, izraelskega parlamenta in sedanjim aktivistom ter ustanoviteljem mirovnega gibanja Gush Shalom, Greto Berlin iz gibanja Free Gaza Movement in Francesco Burke iz londonske Amnesty International, strokovnjakinjo za Izrael in okupirana palestinska območja. Slišali boste tudi stališče Združenih držav iz ust podpredsednika Josepha Bidna, oddajo pa smo začinili še z mnenjem domače obrambne ministrice Ljubice Jelušič. Začnimo z Avnerijem, ki smo ga vprašali, kako izraelske oblasti legitimizirajo blokado Gaze pred domačo javnostjo.
Well, the latest excuse is that we cannot allow arms to come into Gaza, but this is an excuse which is not very convincing because the blockade is not against arms only. It is against foodstuffs, it's against pasta, it's against fruit and vegetables, against paper, against toys for children, and many other items. So this pretext that we cannot allow arms to come into Gaza is very unconvincing. If the idea was to prevent, only to prevent arms coming to Gaza, then the Israeli Navy should have stopped the ships, inspected the cargo, and then let them go to Gaza. But Mr. Netanyahu said, we shall not allow the port of Gaza to become a port of entry, because then the port of Gaza would turn into an Iranian port on the Mediterranean. This sounds to me completely silly.
Are the Israeli citizens in Tel Aviv and other cities aware of the situation in Gaza?
Yes and no. They hear about it from time to time, but they ignore it. It's Gaza, which is about half an hour drive from Tel Aviv, could have been on the moon. People don't want to hear about it. People don't hear about it. The general idea is that we have left Gaza 5 years ago, and why do they torture us?
So nobody's talking about the blockade and the humanitarian crisis.
Well, we are. Of course we are. There is a significant peace movement in Israel. We have demonstrated against the attack on the flotilla on Monday morning at the port of Gaza. At Monday evening, there was a big demonstration in front of the Ministry of Defense in Tel Aviv. Tonight, we are going to have a big demonstration through the streets of Tel Aviv demanding the abolition of the blockade. So there is a lot of debate in Israel about it. But we are up against a huge propaganda machine which says that the blockade is essential for the existence of Israel.
How much people come to such protests usually?
Well, on Monday before the Ministry of Defense, there were 2,000 people. And I expect today to be much bigger.
Francesca Burke iz londonske Amnesty International, poznavalka okupiranih palestinskih območij in Izraela, takole opisuje dejansko stanje na terenu v Gazi.
Well, the Israeli blockade of Gaza has been in place actually for 3 years now. And I think we can say some of the key consequences of this have been mass unemployment and extreme poverty, which you really see amongst Palestinians in Gaza today. So Israel has almost entirely barred exports, and this meant that the economy in Gaza all but collapsed. So unemployment now is around 40%. According to the United Nations, 4 out of every 5 Gazans are now dependent on humanitarian aid. And in fact, in the last year, the number of Palestinians in Gaza who are living in absolute poverty, so a destitute, this has actually tripled. And I think all of this, it's important to realize what the context of this is. I mean, Gaza is a very small area of land. It's about 40 kilometers long, less than 10 kilometers wide, and there's more than 1.5 Palestinians living there. So it's one of the most densely populated areas on Earth. The population there is also very vulnerable. More than half the population of Gaza is under 18. Many of them are also refugees from earlier conflicts with Israel. And it's really the civilians who are suffering from this blockade. Healthcare in Gaza has been a major victim of the blockade. There's real shortages in equipment and medical supplies. And Palestinians who have critical medical conditions that just can't be treated in Gaza because of the poor state of the hospitals, they require permits if they want to leave to get treatment in foreign hospitals or even in Palestinian hospitals in the West Bank. Now, the Israeli authorities frequently delay or refuse altogether these permits, and Gazans have died while waiting to obtain permits to leave the territory. So there's a massive civilian impact to this blockade.
Tudi Greto Berlin smo vprašali, kako Izrael opravičuje prepoved vnosa gradbenega materiala v Gazo.
Well, they legitimize it because nobody stops them. Everybody is afraid to stop Israel, apparently. I see Israel as a spoiled, rotten little child that everybody is afraid to discipline. So when governments won't do it, then civil society is going to have to. Israel only allows 81 items into Gaza. For example, it doesn't allow chocolate in. It doesn't allow paper in. It doesn't allow high-end medical equipment in. It doesn't allow motorized wheelchairs, as an example. All of those things are on Israel's list of 2,000 items that are not allowed into Gaza.
How do the people of Gaza live day to day?
You know, I think that's one of the reasons that so many of us stick to this for such a long time. I've been trying to advocate for justice for the Palestinians now for 43 years. I'm constantly amazed at the integrity and the inventiveness and there's just the sheer welcome attitude of the Palestinians. They will give you the last piece of food that they have on the table. On their table, they invite you in to eat with them, even when they don't have anything. They're a remarkably resilient group because that is their resistance. Their resistance is exactly what it is that they're doing. We won't go away. We'll continue to have our children. We will continue to try to advocate for our freedom and our right to have the same kind of rights that everybody else does. And so when you see that, you think, okay, we suffered 9 deaths last week, which was a tragedy. But it doesn't come anywhere close to what the Palestinians suffer on a daily basis.
Bivši izraelski poslanec in aktivist Avneri pojasni, zakaj je do blokade Gaze sploh prišlo.
Well, the blockade was imposed four years ago, this idea to cut Gaza off completely from the world. The main object has been to get the people of Gaza to overthrow the Hamas government. The Israeli government sees in Hamas its most important enemy. So the idea was that if the people of Gaza will suffer enough, they will overthrow Hamas. Now, that was 4 years ago, and by now it has been proved that this blockade did not achieve this end. It did not achieve any end at all, except turning the life of 1.5 million people in Gaza, men, women and children, into misery. Therefore, my friends and I in the Israeli peace movement, Gush Shalom, have demanded from the beginning to lift the siege of Gaza. We ourselves have brought into Gaza several convoys of food and medicine on the land way, and I think it was very foolish of the Israeli government to try and stop the aid flotilla on its way to Gaza.
Izrael torej kot razlog navaja Hamas. Greta Berlin pa nam pojasni vlogo Izraela pri nastanku tega palestinskega gibanja, ko odgovori na vprašanje, ali meni, da je Hamas edini razlog za izraelsko blokado Gaze.
Of course it's not the only reason. Israel founded and funded Hamas back in the late 80s as a counter to Arafat. So Israel was the one that encouraged them to exist. I think they thought that Hamas was going to take all the money that they gave to them and turn around and fight Arafat. Instead, what happened is they took all the money and built institutions in Gaza and in the West Bank as well. This is clearly an economic reason for doing this. There is enough natural gas under the waters of Gaza to supply Israel, illegally by the way, with enough natural gas for 20 years. So Israel's busy stealing the Palestinian resources, and they're doing that under the guise of somehow Hamas is a terrorist organization. You know, as an American, if back in the 1700s when we were fighting our war of independence from the Brits, I'm sure the British would have thought we were terrorists.
Izrael blokade Gaze kljub razsodbam o njeni nelegalnosti in neskladnosti z mednarodnim pravom ne bi mogel izvajati tako dolgo, če ne bi imel odkrite podpore Združenih držav Amerike in tihe podpore Evropske unije pa tudi arabskih držav. Uri Avneri takole pojasnjuje vlogo ZDA pri blokadi Gaze.
When Hamas won the Palestinian elections Israel imposed a boycott on the new Palestinian government, which was a Hamas government. Then Hamas agreed to have a unity government in which Hamas took part, and Israel boycotted this unity government too. And then Hamas took over the Gaza Strip. Of course, Israel boycotts the Gaza Strip. But it should not be forgotten, no less important, maybe more important than the Israeli boycott on Gaza is the American boycott. America is more extreme than Israel in boycotting Hamas. America is preventing the reconciliation between Fatah and Hamas. There are all the time efforts going on to reunite these two Palestinian factions. My friends and I believe that this would be good for Israel, but the Americans have put a total veto on this reconciliation. America also made a total veto on a prisoner exchange which would free our prisoner in Gaza, the soldier Gilad Shalit, in return for freeing some hundreds of Hamas activists. The Americans do not allow it. So America, in this respect, is playing a very major role. I'm sure that Israel would not have done, the Israeli government would not have done what it has done last week if it had not had the full support of the United States government for this action. The United States government has put Hamas on a list of terrorist organizations. And since then, the United States has been extremely harsh and rigid in its policy to boycott everything which has to do with Hamas. To my mind, it is a very stupid policy, both on the part of Israel and on the part of the United States. Hamas is a part of the Palestinian reality. Hamas is at least half the Palestinian people. And to boycott half the Palestinian people means that you boycott peace. There can be no peace without the participation of Hamas.
Odkot Izraelu takšen vpliv na politiko Združenih držav? Odgovor se skriva v izraelskem lobiju, ki močno vpliva na rezultate ameriških volitev.
Well, this is a long story. Israel has created a very powerful lobby in Washington. This lobby has a strong influence on Israel, on the American Congress, both the Senate and the House of Representatives, because it has shown that nobody can win elections in the United States if the Israeli lobby does not want it. In the United States Congress, to do anything against the government of Israel is political suicide. And therefore, it has a very strong influence on the Congress, especially in an election year. Obama tried to change American policy, but he has not succeeded in doing this. And now that there are going to be elections in the United States on November 2, the American administration can practically do nothing against Israel because they're afraid that they lose the election for Congress.
Kako ameriška administracija opravičuje svojo neomajno podporo Izraelu? Kljub očitnim grobim izraelskim kršitvam mednarodnega prava, američani trdijo, da vladavina prava deluje. Ameriški podpredsednik Joseph Biden je za neko ameriško televizijsko postajo takole podporil Izrael ob nedavnem napadu na humanitarni konvoj.
You can argue whether Israel should have dropped people onto that ship or not, but the truth of the matter is Israel has a right to know. They're at war with Hamas. Has a right to know whether or not arms are being smuggled in. And up to now, Charlie, what's happened? They've said, here you go. You're in the Mediterranean. This ship, if you divert slightly north, you can unload it and we'll get the stuff into Gaza. So what's the big deal here? What's the big deal of insisting it goes straight to Gaza? Well, it's legitimate for Israel to say, I don't know what's on that ship. These guys are dropping 8,000 or 3,000 rockets on my people. Now, The one thing we have to do is not forget the plight of these Palestinians there, not Hamas. They are in bad shape. So we have put as much pressure and as much cajoling on Israel as we can to allow them to get building materials in.
That's what they're trying to bring in.
Yes,
building materials.
We know that, but they could have easily brought it in here and we get it through. I might add, by the way, for all those who say the Israelis, you know, you can't trust them, the Israeli Supreme Court ruled today that every one of the people on those ships had to be released immediately. Immediately.
So what's this?
It's a rule of law. It works.
No, poslušajmo se še Bidenove ocene odnosov med ZDA in Izraelom.
Are you saying that the relationship between Israel and the United States is okay?
It's more than okay. Look, we always have had disagreements tactically with Israeli governments. But when I was in Israel, Bibi Netanyahu and I held a press conference before all that flap about a new settlement, et cetera.
Right. Well, yeah, I'm told the president got very upset because of what he did while you were in the country. I mean, that was
That's true, but here's the point. We stood there at that press conference. I was making a major speech at the University of Tel Aviv, major, meaning laying out U.S. policy. And Bibi pointed out that no administration in history has been as upfront and supportive of Israel's security as this administration. We've done everything from provide missile defense. We've made sure they maintain their qualitative edge. There's a new program they call Iron Dome that we're helping fund for them to be able to protect themselves. We have joint maneuvers. They've never been closer on a strategic side with Israel than today.
Ehud Barak said that to me on a program.
And that's literally true.
Kot smo dejali že na začetku oddaje, izvaja blokado Gaze tudi Egipt in to kljub deklarirani nesolidarnosti, pravzaprav solidarnosti arabskih držav s palestinskim narodom. Egipt naj bi deloval v dobro enotnosti palestincev. Kakšni so pravi razlogi za egipčansko blokado Gaze?
Well, I think Egypt is fulfilling a very miserable role in this whole affair. Egypt is totally dependent on the United States. Egypt gets $2 billion every year from the United States. With the help of Israel, this would stop next morning if Israel would object to it. The Israeli influence on the Congress in the United States is so big that if Egypt did anything to displease Israel, the aid would stop the next morning. But also, Egypt is also afraid. Egypt is a dictatorship. And this dictatorship is menaced by a religious opposition, the Muslim Brotherhood. No one knows, because it's such a tight dictatorship, no one knows how strong the Muslim Brothers are, but they are an important force in Egypt, and they are very closely allied to Hamas. Hamas actually started as a part of the Muslim Brotherhood. So Egypt is really a kind of assistant to the government of Israel in imposing this blockade. The blockade could not exist without Egypt, because if Egypt would open the border between Egypt and the Gaza Strip, there would be no blockade. So Egypt is really acting against its Arab brothers and against the population of Gaza. It's not a blockade on Hamas. This must be repeated again and again. It is not a blockade on Hamas. It's a blockade on the population of Gaza, the 1.5 million people.
In kakšna je Aunerjeva ocena odzivov Evropske unije?
Europe never does anything which would displease the United States. In the Middle East, Europe, all of Europe, is a satellite of the United States. There is no independent European policy in the Middle East. They do what the Americans tell them. What if there had been an independent European policy, instead of some condemnations which mean nothing, empty words, Europe should demand to lift the blockade on Gaza. That's the first thing to do. The blockade must be lifted. And there should be strong European pressure on the Israeli government to do this. When Europe says that they support Israel, I always ask, which Israel do you support? The Israeli government, the Israeli peace movement, the Israeli right-wing circles, the Israeli left-wing circles? To say we support Israel means nothing. Israel is not a monolithic unit. Israel is a democratic state. It has, there are many different forces and opinions in Israel. And I think that by supporting the policy of the Israeli government, which is stupid and even suicidal, does do no service to Israel. I think Europe is doing, by supporting the Israeli government unconditionally, is doing a very great disservice to Israel. When your friend is getting drunk, you don't tell him, take your car and drive home. You tell him politely, dear friend, stay where you are and let somebody else drive the car.
Do you think that the European Union should impose an embargo on Israel? Would that help, maybe?
I don't know what embargo means, and I don't think embargoes as such are a good thing, because it would push the Israeli public even more into the hands of the right-wing extremists. But there are many other ways there are many other ways in which Europe can help to put pressure on the Israeli government and induce it to change its policy. There are many, many variations of possibilities.
Kakršnekoli že so te možnosti za pritisk, ga od Slovenije nikakor ne pričakujemo. Obrambna ministrica sedanje vlade Ljubica Jelušić je za Radio Študent marca 2009 takole pojasnila razloge za razumevajoč odnos Slovenije do Izraela. Govora je bilo o izraelski prodaji orožja Sloveniji v času embarga Združenih narodov na prodajo orožja za območje bivše Jugoslavije.
Kaj mislite, da smo si mi kot samostojna država Slovenija? Leta 95. A pa 94. Res so zaslužili, da smo pod sankcijami Združenih narodov? Samostojna država smo bili.
Pa je bilo glede na te sankcije, potrebno spoštovati, ne?
In vendar, večina držav mednarodne skupnosti je takrat sankcije spoštovala. In sicer tako, da Slovenija ni mogla vzpostaviti svojih oboroženih sil na način, kot bi bilo potrebno za normalno, moderno državo. Mi smo tavali v svoji teritorijalni obrambi do leta 1995, ker opremiti te svoje vojske nismo mogli. Tudi, ok, ni bilo ne vem koliko ekonomskih moči na razpolago, ampak če bi hoteli opremiti svojo vojsko in pripraviti vojsko na način, da bi bili lahko neka moderna, nova vojaška organizacija, ker so druge države lahko naredile v vzhodni Evropi, mi tega nismo mogli, ker smo bili pod sankcijami. In zakaj vam to govorim? Obstajajo države, ki niso povsem spoštovale tistega, kar so takrat odločili Združeni narodi. In med njimi je bil tudi Izrael. Kar pomeni, da je država Slovenija del svoje obrambe, del svojega znanja, naprimer, znanje iz uporabe tankovskih enot, ki ga ni imela kje dobiti, dobila v Izraelu.
1,5 milijona prebivalcev Gaze, območja velikega 360 kvadratnih kilometrov, za primerjavo Slovenija jih obsega 20 tisoč, vsakodnevno trpi že zadnjih 60 let in še posebej od leta 2007. Očitnost krivice, ki buta v oči in želodec vse svetovne javnosti, pa očitno ni dovolj, da bi se politična elita vplivnih držav odločila za doslednost in začela izvajati močan pritisk na Izrael. Ta bo še naprej vsemu posmeh izvajal množičen mehki genocid palestincev, se izgovarjal na samo obrambo in hkrati trgoval z orožjem tako s Turčijo kot Slovenijo in ostalimi državami iz samooklicanega civiliziranega sveta, ki ne izgubljajo besed, ko je treba izražati solidarnost s palestinci v Gazi. Zeitgeist o neupoštevanji očitnosti je pripravil Boris.
In kako pridem još nazaj. In ko pridem još nazaj, pa te samo ostane, imam tiste dolge hodnike, ne. Tam dolje so vrata, pa tre vrata, ne. In jaz pridem tam, pa prema vrata, pa ne vidiš. Pa tam dolje zagledam, zagledam Madonna eno žo.
Res.
Je bil pa lep, mlad, mlad in to je siv, siv, ne ta nemški občalnik, ne, črni pa to ne. Prav tista prava volk. Ne. Krasen.
Radijske zgodbe o ljudeh, ki ustvarjajo duh časa. Na Radiu Študent.